Well, I want to show y'all something. I brought something with me today, and I want to ask you guys a question as we tee up what we're going to talk about today. I brought this with me today. Somebody tell me what this is. A medicine bottle? A medicine bottle? Anything else? Anybody else? A prescription fill bottle? Yeah. Yeah. All these are right answers. I actually had to look a little bit to be able to find this, but that's exactly what this is. This is a prescription one time I remember getting. It's actually got my legal name on it, Phyllis. There we go. We were talking about that this week. And it tells me exactly what's in this bottle. It tells me exactly how to take it. And I just got to thinking about something this week. Wouldn't it be awesome if God had healing work just like this? To where our great physician called in a prescription for us, and all you got to do is go to the pharmacy, pick the prescription up, take it according to the instructions that's on the bottle, and it will heal you of any physical problem you have. Any physical infirmity, sickness, or any kind of disease you might have in your flesh, this medicine will take care of it. Wouldn't that be awesome? Wouldn't that be awesome? Well, I'm here to tell you today, you're exactly right, Fred. We do have this. This is exactly how the Lord has done it. And I'm going to show you something today in the Bible, which is my personal favorite way to preach healing. And it's actually when we started healing school several years back, this was the first message I ever taught here. I called it God's Medicine. And to me, it is one of the number one ways to unlock healing in our life. It's God's primary way in which to do it, and it's found in the book of Proverbs, chapter 4. So if you got your Bibles, let's go over there and look at it together. Proverbs, chapter 4. You notice it makes a little bit of noise. I got something actually in here today. I took some time doing it. I told a few people last night. Pastor was in his office yesterday rolling things up. Those that come out of a kind of a rough background might know exactly what I'm talking about. But I actually printed up some scriptures, amen, and rolled them up. These are healing scriptures, praise God. Because God's word, God's sayings are the healing that is the medicine to our flesh. So let's look at these verses together in Proverbs chapter 4, beginning in verse 20. Now, how many of you know Proverbs is the book of wisdom? Amen. So, in my opinion, it's something that you probably will hear me say a whole lot. Wisdom is the principal thing. I mean, if there's about anything you can aspire to have in your life and seek after, it is the wisdom that descends from above. And the reason why is because with it comes all the other things you desire. You remember when Solomon requested this wisdom, when God said you could have anything you want? He said, I want wisdom to rule over this people. He was seeking first the kingdom of God. He wanted the mind of Christ. And when he got it, God said to him, hey, I'm going to give you all the other things that most kings would have normally asked for. Because why? With wisdom, in her left hand comes this, and in her right hand comes that. And one of the things that he lists here for us is in Proverbs chapter 4, and I want you to notice something. Now, let me ask you a question. Is all Scripture given by inspiration of God? Yes. Amen. So does that mean it's God-breathed? That means that it comes straight from God. Even though it might have been a physical man talking to another physical person, it is God's Word for all people for all time. Amen? So when we read this, this is not just Solomon talking to his children. This is God talking to his children. Amen. How many of God's children do I have in this place today? All right, I see a whole lot of hands risen. So look at this with me. He says, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Verse 21, do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Why? For they are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. Now the word that's used for health here, it is the Hebrew word marpe, spelled M-A-R-P-E. And I want to show you exactly what this word means. It literally describes, in the original language, medicine. In fact, some of your translations might actually say that, that his word is medicine to all their flesh. This word marpe is defined as such: restoration of health, a remedy, a cure, or medicine. I'll say that again. This word is defined as restoration of health, remedy, cure, or medicine. It's only used 13 times in the Old Testament, and it comes from, this might be a little bit more familiar to you, it comes from the verb Rapha, where we get the name of God, which is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer. So it has in it the idea of physical health. So we're not talking about spiritual health here. We're talking about physical health. And so what is he saying in this verse? For they what? His words and his sayings. That's what he was referring to in the previous verses. We'll go back and look at that. His words and his sayings are life to those who find them. So what does that mean? If God's people will find his words, if they'll find his sayings, it's going to produce some life in you. Amen? And not only that, it's going to produce a what? A restoration of health, a remedy, a cure, or medicine to some of their flesh. Thank you. Somebody caught that. Somebody's paying attention this morning. All in the Hebrew means all. This means any physical problem you got, this medicine bottle takes care of it. Amen. So how many of you could use a little bit of that in your life? Amen. Now, it's important to get, because once you start understanding this, you start realizing this is how God has designed things to work. This is God's best way for bringing healing into people's lives. Because I say that because notice the word health is used. It doesn't say it'll bring healing to all their flesh. There's a difference between being in health and being healed. Amen? And I think what happens with too many Christians is we just kind of live our life. However, we don't really give any attention to healing and focus on these different things. We don't make this a priority in our life and let our heart really embrace it. But then when we get sick or when we get a bad report, we like running to try to find out how we can get healing from the Lord. And I get it. Sometimes that's going to be necessary. Sometimes we're going to need the Lord to heal us. But there's a better way. I said there's a better way. And the better way is that we live in divine health and don't need divine healing. Amen. Amen. And that's God's plan. There's plenty of scriptures to back this up, because if Jesus went ahead and took care of all of our sicknesses and our diseases, and by his stripes we were healed, then he's already made provision for you and I to live in health and shouldn't be going around depending on miracles. And there's a problem with that. Miracles are awesome. I've experienced miracles in my life. I know some of you have as well, and those things are awesome, but that is not God's best. Just like it was not God's best for his children to roam around in the wilderness for those 40 years having to depend on miracles. Because that's pretty much how they got all their sustenance, all their provision, wasn't it? God's best was what? Canaan land, the promised land, where there were grapes the size of your head and burritos the size of your head. Amen? Like, that's more relatable to us today. There's just awesome stuff that's been provided in this place that grows up from the ground naturally, so that you can just, if you need something, you just go pick it right off the vine and are able to partake of it. Healing is a lot like that. God wants his people to live in a place to where we're living in the promised land of health. Because why? We've been taking our medicine. And as a result of that, we're in a position, a condition, to go and minister it to other people. Amen. So health is what we need to be striving for. And what this is telling us right here is there is a prescribed way that we can have health in our physical lives all the time, if we'll do certain things. Because when I look at this bottle right here, one thing that I noticed is that it always gives you directions of how to take the medicine. You ever notice that? And this one actually says, take one tablet by mouth. And my question was, how else are you going to take it? Am I supposed to stick it in my ear? Or whatever way, melt it down and drink it? I mean, what is the other way? But that's very specific, isn't it? Well, God's prescription for his medicine is very specific as well. And that's what I really want us to focus on. Because if we take it the right way, and that's really important, it'll bring healing. Now, I can have this in our medicine cabinet at home and have medicine in here that will absolutely heal anything in my body, but if it's in my medicine cabinet with the door closed and I'm never taking one a day by mouth, is it going to do me any good? Well, that's the way it is with a lot of Christians. A lot of us have books like this called the Bible sitting on our nightstand, sitting in our house in certain places. In fact, in our country, we might have multiple Bibles in our house. I think most of us probably do. But that's not going to do you any good to just have His sayings. You got to learn how to take them. And what God was so good to do right here is He wasn't just good enough to tell us how His words and His sayings were medicine to all your flesh. He actually told you the directions for use. He told you how to take it, and it's in the verses we just read. So let's back up and let's look at verse 20. Amen. Verse 20 starts off by saying, "My son." Now let's stop right there for a second. Again, this is God talking to us, His children. Now, how many of you have ever given your children, particularly when they were younger, instructions and told them, "My son, my daughter, make sure you do this. If you do this, you're going to get in some trouble. Make sure you brush your teeth, comb your hair so you don't get all them knots in it. You know, do all this different stuff." How many of you told your kids what to do and they didn't do everything you told them? I think we've all experienced that. But before we throw stones at them, how many of you were a kid one time and your parents told you similar things and you thought you knew more than your parents and you didn't do it their way and you didn't follow their instructions? Well, I think some of us probably had some setbacks in our life and probably didn't grow and learn as quick as we should have because we didn't think they knew. I think God's children are a lot like this. I think God has given us a lot of instructions that we as His children, we might not come out and say it, that I know better or I don't want to, but we're going to pretend like it's not there and not really fully embrace it the way that we should. And this is certainly an example. If God tells you, here's the medicine, and you need to take this, this way, and this is the benefit, who are we to blame if we don't do what He tells us to do and we're plagued with chronic sickness and disease? Is it God's fault? Is it Daddy's fault? Nope. That would be my fault if I'm not following His instructions, all right? That's not to condemn anybody or to throw stones. It is simply to bring to our attention God is faithful. And He's so good that He gave us the way to a better life. And if God's children would just be smart enough, mature enough to say, "God, You know better than I do, and I'm going to do it whether it makes sense to me, whether it's hard and it's difficult." This is a place of maturity, right? It's kind of like I was noticing with this bottle as well. You know, of course, I've grown to the point where it's easy to know how to get this off, but do you ever notice how they make these bottles in a way that you can't just get it off? Why is that? Because it's not for the immature to come and decide how much they're going to take this. Well, it's kind of like that with these words that I'm sharing with you today. This is a mature message, but it is the best message for healing. I'd love to just sit up here all day and preach on miracles and let's just lay hands on people and bail everybody out of every physical problem that they had. And there's a time and a place for that. I would much rather, though, show you how to obtain healing yourself and how to keep it yourself so that you can stand on your own two feet if there's not a Trey, a Robert, a Minton around here. Amen? This is the best way. So He says, "My son." Now notice the first thing He says. "Give attention to My words." Give attention to My words. What does this mean? Pay attention. Amen. When I was a little kid, I was at an elementary school up in the Athens area, and we had a coach. He actually coached the football team, but he was the elementary school PE teacher. And his name was Coach Netherly. Big, burly man. I mean, and he had a deep voice, and he knew how to command our attention. And because why? When we're little kids, We're all over the place. If you didn't know how to take authority, those kids are going to be all over the place. So we're out there playing around, doing all kinds of crazy stuff, and he knew how to say these words. He would say, "Stop, look, and listen." And we were like, "Yes, sir. Yes, sir." We would line up, and we would pay attention to what he's doing. What were we doing? We were giving him our attention. And why is that important? Because we live in a world today that is full of distractions. I mean, we've got cell phone, we got a computer on our hip all the time. I mean, we've got access to all kinds of information. We are in the information age, and it is not hard to be distracted in this world. I was talking with somebody yesterday that I hadn't seen in a while, and we were just talking about just how busy everybody is today, and that's one of the reasons we don't have time to slow down and have a relationship like we used to. How many of you know that's not a good thing? I mean, it's great to have some information and stuff like that, but boy, you certainly got to put that stuff in its place. Because if you're divided in all these different ways and thinking about all these different things, and you're not giving your attention to what's really important, you're not going to be nearly as effective. It's kind of like a laser. When a laser is centrally focused on something, boy, it can cut through something that is impossible to cut through. That's the way your focus is. So giving attention to his words is the first thing he's telling us to do. Get yourself in a position to where you are paying attention, giving him your undivided attention. To what? His words. Now, that would describe anything God specifically spoken to you, like a rhema word or the written word, which I'm so thankful. I'm a man of the written word. I personally love it because I love it so much when people come and say, "Hey, I need a word. Give me a word." I was like, praise God, you got a whole bunch of them right here, man. You got tons of words right here that you can go to whenever you want to hear from God anytime you want, if you'll just open your heart up to receiving that. But you got to pay attention. Say, pay attention. Then he says, give attention to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. So now he's starting to deal with specific parts of our body, not necessarily physically, and I'll get into that in a minute, that you are intaking this medicine through. All right? So he says what? Incline your ear to my sayings. Now, this is the example I always like to use with this. We got a cute little dog named Bluesy. Some of y'all have met her before. Some of you have spent some time with her. She is a really unique dog in this respect, is that, and I think a lot of dogs do this. Have you ever noticed how dogs know how to incline their ears? It's like if we're walking her around the neighborhood, if I'm talking to her, she likes to get out in front of us. But when I'm talking to her, you know what her ears are doing? They turn and almost kind of like satellite dishes. You know how satellite dishes aim towards the thing where they're getting the signal from? Her ears turn around backwards to where she's in the best position, even though she's in front of me and even though she's giving her attention in the forward direction, she's listening to me. She's putting herself in a better position to hear. And I believe that is what this is describing right here. We as God's children have to learn how to incline our ears to his sayings. Now, this starts with your physical ears, all right? If you don't have physical ears working, you're not going to be able to hear anything on the inside of you. It's going to be downright difficult to do that. So listen to something physically is where it starts, right? So that would include eliminating all these distractions and putting yourself in a position to where you can hear certain things. Because I think a lot of times we pride ourselves on being multitaskers. Well, I can do this while I'm doing this, and I'm listening to this while I'm doing that. Well, you might be a little deceived into thinking how effective you're being in doing that. You might be able to retain some information and hear something, but if you're really going to hear it the way you need to hear it, you need both these ears being inclined towards hearing it. Amen? Like you've heard people say before, there's a reason God's given us two ears and one mouth. Why is that? Probably because we should be doing twice as much listening as we are talking. That's a word for somebody in this place today, praise God. I mean, because it's easy. Most of us are doing twice as much talking as we are listening. But really, a wise person is going to do what? They're going to incline their ear. They're going to put themselves in the best position in their life to hear from the Lord. Because I think there's a difference between his words and his sayings. You follow me? This is important. Let me deal with this for a second. I would look at his words as being like the written word, his sayings as being the rhema words that you receive. How many of you ever gotten a rhema word? How many of you know what a rhema word is? A rhema word is more of a communicated word by the Lord. It's where the Lord speaks something to you. Maybe where a scripture jumps off the page to you and you know the Lord's talking to you. Or you're driving down the road and God speaks something to you and you know it's a word from God. So it's both of these that are working in our lives to work and act like medicine for our healing. So it's an incline in my ear. Let me show you a couple of scriptures about inclining your ear and the importance of it. Go to Matthew 13. Matthew chapter 13. Jesus actually taught a lot about this. And I want you to notice what he says. Now, this is on the day, and I'm going to look at another one of these examples in the Gospel of Luke a little bit here shortly. But in Matthew chapter 13, we have one of Jesus' most important teachings. It was the day where he was teaching on kingdom parables. He was teaching his disciples what the kingdom of God was like and how it works. And I'm here to tell you today, if you can figure out the way the kingdom of God works, you can get anything you want from God. Anything you want from God, you can get it if you'll learn to operate by certain laws. Because there are kingdom principles that work all the time, if we will just do it the way God did. Which, he was teaching an agricultural society. The Jewish people were very proficient in farming and things like that, so he would use an example like that to teach them. Kingdom of God works just like this. It's like sowing a seed. But one of the things he says, beginning in verse 9, was after he gave him the parable of the sower, he says, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Now, how many of you have ever pictured the group of people that were there listening to Jesus' teaching on this day as all of them having no hearing? They couldn't physically hear anything, and some of them didn't even have ears and things like that. Has anybody ever pictured that's actually what was going on? No, that's not at all what Jesus was saying. I guarantee you that the vast majority of people that were listening to him that day had their physical hearing, right? So what is he talking about when he says, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear"? He's talking about a different kind of ear. He's talking about the ears of your heart. And why is this so important? Because listen, you and I can sit in pews just like this. We can hear the pure, unadulterated Word of God with our physical ears, but that does not mean we're actually hearing what God's saying with the ears of our heart. In fact, there's a scripture in Exodus chapter 15, verse 26, I believe it is, where God reveals himself as Jehovah Rapha. Oh, actually, we got it. I didn't know I gave you that one. Thank you, Mary. And it says, if you, look at this, diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God, and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments, there's give ear to his commandments and keep his statutes, he will put none of the diseases on you which he brought on the Egyptians. For I am the Lord who heals you. I am Jehovah Rapha. Notice at the beginning of this verse where he says, if you diligently heed. Now in the Hebrew, when they would write something, in order to place an emphasis on a word, they would repeat the word. Okay? So in this, we see an example. When he says, if you diligently heed, it actually says in the Hebrew, if you sama, spelled S-A-M-A-S-A-M-A. He repeated the word for hear or heed. Why? Because he was trying to emphasize, if you really listen, if you diligently heed. But I think it's interesting that he used hearing twice. Why? Because it reminds me of a scripture in Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Help me now. So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Have you ever wondered why he said, and faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God? He could have just said, to make the same point, so then faith comes by hearing the Word of God. Why does he say it that way? I believe this is the very reason. Because it's not just, faith does not come just by audibly listening to something. It starts there. But faith really comes when you audibly hear it by paying attention to it and you hear it with this thing in here, your spiritual immaterial heart. And you're going to find out here in a moment why that's so important, because your heart is really where this stuff starts taking effect. So you got to hear it with both sets of ears that you have. So I said it wrong earlier. You don't just have two ears, you got four. You got two physical ears, and you got two spiritual ears. And it is imperative that you learn to hear with all of them, that all four of them are inclined. This is how God's word gets down in your heart and starts taking effect. So when he says, he who has ears to hear, back in Matthew 13, let him hear, he's talking about the spiritual ears. He's like, this is what you really need to be listening with, guys. I appreciate the fact that you guys are gathered here on the Sermon on the Mount, and that I am teaching you, and you guys have all come to physically listen to me. But that's not enough. You've got to learn to hear it on the inside, because that's where it takes effect. And then he goes on to say, notice this, and the disciples came and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? And he answered and said to them, because it has been given to you. To you who? I'm not talking about the drink you who. You who? I'm talking about to you, his disciples, the one that just came and asked him that. It has been given to you to know what? The mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. Ah, so it was the disciples that were going to have God's word made clear and plain to them instead of just in parable form like all the other people that were just audibly listening. And how many of you know there's a big difference between the disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ and your average nominal believer? What does a disciple do? A lot more than what most of us have probably done. They left all and followed him. Him who? Him the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So think about it this way. They had left every distraction, all of life's responsibilities, and they were 24/7 following the Word made flesh. Listening to him, letting him teach them, and because they were in this position, it had been given to them to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. It wasn't like God just said, okay, you guys are special because I picked you and asked you to follow me. Now you guys are going to be the ones that get the inside track. I don't think it was that. I think it was because of decisions and choices they made to truly hear, they were in position to hear inside here. Oh, glory to God. That's awesome. Then that's when he goes on to say, for whoever has. He goes on to explain how this works. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But whoever does not have, whatever he has will be taken away from him. Have you ever read that verse and wondered, what in God's name was Jesus saying right here? He's speaking in pig Latin. I have no idea what he's saying. It's really simple. He had just asked, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. So when he turns around two verses later and says, for whoever has, what do you think he's talking about? Whoever has ears to hear. Whoever has ears to him to hear, more will be given. What does that mean? If you have ears to hear, more revelation will be given. More insight, more wisdom will be given. You'll be in a position to hear like the disciples heard, plainly. And clearly. And then he says, and he'll have that it's going to be an abundance of revelation, but whoever does not have what? Ears to hear. Even what he has will be taken away from him. The ability to hear. This is how people's hearts become hardened, which even his disciples had hardened hearts and ways. And I'm here to tell you today, I don't care who you are, every person in this room today watching us on video, including myself, has a hardened heart in some way. There are certain things we are not as sensitive to in the kingdom of God that we should be, or else we'd be blowing this thing out the water in signs, wonders, and miracles. It's tight, but it's right. So the fact is, I can get my heart into the condition it needs to be in. So when Jesus said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear, and he said in other places, take heed what you hear. You familiar with that scripture? Take heed what you hear. That's why it's so important that you come here. To hear. Because why? What you're hearing here is the first step to getting it on the inside of you. But it's only the first step. The second step is going to be how much you're going to hear it with your heart. and then how much you're going to apply it. This is how the medicine gets on the inside of you. And that's why he went on to say in another place in the Gospels, not only take heed what you hear, take heed how you hear. Now that's a whole different thing. How do you hear? Well, that's what Proverbs chapter 4 is teaching us. How you hear his word. So let's go back to it. Proverbs chapter 4. Amen. I asked the Lord for some extra grace and help today, and I'm just feeling it. So thank you, Father, for that. He's good to us. So when he says, my son, give attention to my words, incline your ear to my sayings, we understand what he's talking about now. We're talking about getting all four of them little meat flaps we got. Amen. I call them meat flaps on the side of your head. And talking about the ones in your heart and put them in position to hear. Then he says, do not let them depart from your eyes. So now we've got another way in describing how these words get in you, like medicine. It's not just through your ears, but it's through the eye gate. Amen. So I'm going to say it this way. You know how it said right there on my medicine bottle? It said, directions for use, take one of these daily by mouth. What is the mouth that gets it into your heart to where it starts taking effect? Well, you basically got two different ways. Through your ears and through your eyes. But it starts with paying attention. Amen? So, do not let them depart from your eyes. Now, this is interesting because God had actually told the children of Israel this for years. He had told them in different ways. He said, do not let my words depart from your eyes. I want you to keep them before your eyes all the days of your life. So, do you know what the genius religious people in Israel did? They developed these little contraptions called phylacteries. Now, you might not know what that is. You might not have ever heard that term. But what it was like a little box with a little strap that ran around their head. And they would do exactly what I did with this medicine bottle. They would actually write the Mosaic and Levitical law down on parchment paper or whatever kind of paper they were using at that time. And they would stick these scriptures down in that little wooden contraption to fulfill the word that God told them, don't let his word depart from your eyes. Keep them on your forehead. How many of you know religion can just do some of the most dumb, stupid things? And I'm not throwing stones at the children of Israel. Probably if we were in Israel that time, we would have just had our own little special phylactery that we'd be wearing all the time. How many of you know that's not really any different than me telling you, if you go home tonight and you take your Bible, put it up under your pillow. Because as you sleep, his words will start to take effect in your heart. How many of you know it ain't going to work that way? Amen. Well, it doesn't work that way with what he's saying here. Do not let his words and his sayings depart from your eyes does not mean that you've got to physically have his words in front of you all the time. We actually can't live that way. You know what you can do, though? Like you got ears in your heart, you got eyes in your heart. How many of you, if I had you close your eyes, actually let's do it right now, close your eyes. There's a dog, and he's a big hairy dog. And his fur he's a tricolored dog. So he's got black, brown, and white. Now that dog is barking. Open your eyes. Did you see the dog?
Oh yeah.
Oh, yeah. Did you see it a lot like you would actually go outside and see it? Yeah. You know why? Because you've got eyes in your heart. Thank you, Jesus. So that's what he's more talking about right here. It's not just about me resting my eyes on these words, but it's me then taking these words and meditating on them. And I'm going to tell you, people will say, you can't do this, you can't meditate on something all the time. Oh, you're meditating on something all the time. It just probably isn't the Word of God. We're meditating on the thing we're worried about and what we're going to fix for dinner, and we're picturing and imagining all these different things, but you're using it. But what does the Bible tell us? Look at this. Go over to Joshua chapter 1 with me. Joshua chapter 1. In fact, this is actually in Psalm 1 and Joshua 1, this principle that I'm going to teach you. But I'm just going to really go through the Joshua 1 with you. Now, Joshua it was time for him to take over for Moses, who was now gone. So God was giving him some really important words of encouragement. Be strong. Be courageous. But he actually gave him some very practical things that was going to get him in the position to where he could be the best leader God had called him to be. Amen? And notice what it says in verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Okay. And then he says, but you shall meditate in it day and night. Why? That you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you'll make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. How many of you would love for your way from this day forward to become absolutely prosperous in the eyes of God and for you to have good success in everything you did? Wouldn't that be awesome? And in Psalm 1, it actually tells you that you'll be fruitful no matter what's going on around you. You can have this if you do this, which is what? Don't let His Word depart from your eyes. Keep His Word ever before you. Become the biggest word nerd out there. I mean, I'm keeping this in front of me, and even when I don't have this physical book in front of me, I'm thinking on it. I'm meditating on it. I'm seeing it on the inside of me, and I'm observing it on the inside so that I can apply it to my life. This is how you can have good success in everything, and I guarantee you this includes your physical health. It will, because what we're seeing over there in Proverbs chapter 4, right? So this is really important for us to start learning how to get this. The prescribed way for you and I to take God's medicine is to what? First of all, pay attention. Give it your attention, undivided attention to what God's Word and His sayings are. Number two, incline your ear to His sayings. I think it's important that the ears are first there. You incline your physical ears. You're in a position to hear His Word like you are this morning. But then you're also listening and capturing it with your heart. And I'm here to tell you today, I don't care what your age is, there is not an excuse for not retaining God's Word on the inside of you. Amen. People talk out of their heart all the time, and that's what they remember. The things that capture your heart are the things you will capture. You'll know. You'll remember them. I used to know when I was a young kid, I actually believe I had some learning disabilities, so I wasn't really a good student. When I was at school, I would be so distracted. It was very difficult for me to really retain the information I was getting from my teachers. And you know why? Because I didn't care. I didn't care what they were teaching me, right? It wasn't important to me. You know the only reason why I knew I wasn't dumb? It's because I could remember every one of them statistics on the back of them baseball cards, right, Johnny? We could memorize those things and we could quote off, oh yeah, Babe Ruth had 714 home runs. Oh yeah, I know this and this and that. I mean, I could retain the information because it was what my heart was capturing. And you're the same way. When this becomes like the back of them baseball cards were to me, my heart will start capturing it. I'll start remembering it. I'll start reciting it. It'll get hidden in here, and it will start taking effect in my life. Back to Proverbs chapter 4. So, not letting it depart from your eyes is the next thing. You know, learning how to meditate on His Word, learning how to see it. And I think it was important that He said that this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Because I'm going to show you a really cool Jewish custom that they would practice, and I think it's actually a good one. I found myself doing it. Is one of the things that the Jewish people were known for doing is, and they would do this at the Wailing Wall and different stuff like that, was they would actually take their scripture book, and they were meditating on the Word. They were taking scriptures like we just looked at seriously, and they would look at it, and they would pray and recite what they were reading, and they would rock back and forth. And I'm not necessarily saying that the rocking is doing that much, but they were muttering the Word. Because you know what the Hebrew word is for meditate? It means to mutter. Why is this important? You know how I used to prepare to preach? I don't necessarily do it nearly like I used to, but what I would do is I would preach it. I actually came to this church on a lot of Saturday nights, especially the first few years I was here, and I'd come in here. Nobody's in here. Nobody's on the property. And I'd come in here and preach my message. And you know what was so awesome about it? I wasn't doing it to memorize it. I was doing it because I'd start getting stuff as I was speaking it. you will get more stuff the more you speak and recite God's word. It is one of the ways that you take God's word by mouth. It's by speaking it. It's by sharing it. So when you're doing all of this, then notice what it gets to at the end of verse 21. Keep them. Them what? His words and his sayings in the midst of your heart. Ah, why? Because when you ingest something by mouth, why do they tell you to do that? Because what has to happen is the medicine, the stuff that's in that pill, needs to get into your stomach so it can begin assimilating into the rest of your body and get into your bloodstream system, right? And it starts from the central place. Your spiritual heart is that way. When you do take God's word through the eye gate and through the ear gate, it comes in there, it gets into the midst of your heart, and now it's in position to go into the rest of my spiritual and physical life, and that's why it'll heal any physical problem I have. Because His Word's potent stuff, man. I mean, we're talking about some uncut, pure, and powerful medicine that just a little dabble do you. What was that? Was that in a Disney movie? A little dabble do you? Or something like that. I don't know. I never watched Disney. But a little dabble do you right here. You don't need one. That's why the Bible says you just need a little mustard seed. And it'll pow. It will just grow up like kudzu on the inside of you. And that's why the Bible says over in, I love this, James chapter 1. What is it? Verse 19, 20. Robert might know better than me on this. But it says, wherefore, I'm reading the King James. And I'm going to say it with King James English. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness, and listen to this, and superfluity of naughtiness. Now what's that saying? Get rid of the overflow of wickedness in your life. Get rid of all the things that would impede and keep God's word from doing. And then do what? Receive. Turn to your neighbor and say, receive. Receive with meekness, teachableness, the implanted word, which is able to save your soul. Oh, praise God. What does that mean? If I let this stuff start growing, some of you, I mean, Wendell, you can relate to this. Man, you plant a little seed of ivy or kudzu, whew, takes over the whole area, doesn't it? God's word's like that. It'll save your entire soul and bring physical health to your body. Why? When you put it in the middle of your heart. But here's a specific word that I felt led to emphasize today. When you keep it there, notice this word, keep them. Keep them. Why would you have to keep those words and those sayings in the middle of your heart? Because there are things out there, supernatural and natural, that will try to take them from you. And didn't Jesus teach us this? That there's certain times the grounds of our heart that the word can get sown into, and after the people leave, after they've heard it, the devil comes in, the birds of the air, and starts taking them away. Have you ever wondered why you come in here on a Sunday morning and hear an awesome message from Pastor Trey, and you will tell everybody how great it was, but then when you leave and you go to lunch with somebody, and somebody says, well, what did he preach on? I don't know. You ever wonder why that happened? Because you're getting some help. There's something coming in from the outside that's taking it, because there is a role you have to play to keep it there. Amen. In fact, go to Hebrews chapter 2. Let me show you something pretty cool. Hebrews chapter 2. He says something in verse 1. Hebrews 2:1. It says, therefore, we must give. We must give. Now, must give means this is necessary. I mean, there is no other ways around it. You absolutely better do this. You must give the more earnest heed. Now, listen to the terminology. This is how you meditate on the Scriptures. You must give the more earnest heed. You know what that means? You got to listen like you've never listened before. You got to listen at another level than you used to listen. You must give the more earnest, diligent heed to the things you have heard. You notice that's what we don't do? is when we first hear it, when you first get a revelation from the Scriptures, when you first hear something like this, man, I've really listened to that. But then it's almost kind of like, I've heard that before, when you hear it again. All right. What are you doing? You're doing the exact opposite of what this says. You're not giving more earnest heed, you're giving less earnest heed. That's why it makes us drift away. It's kind of like the drifting away part, kind of like when you go to the beach. Y'all ever done this? You go out to the beach. It's beach time, baby! And I got my umbrella and my towels and everything like that, and I just go pitch those things right there on the beach. And then I love going out in the water. I know some of you don't like going out in the water because you're afraid of sharks. You need to tackle those giants too. But you go right out in the water, and you're out there, and you're splashing around. You're not really paying attention to what you're doing. What happens on the East Coast? Well, generally, this is the way it kind of works. I've got my umbrella, my towel, my chair, and everything right there. If I'm not paying attention, by the time I look up next time, I'm over here, and my stuff's over there. Why? Because of the undertow. Right? All these things teach us how spiritual things work. If you don't give the more earnest heed, if you're not paying attention to where you're at, you're looking up, and you're keeping yourself there. If you don't do that, you'll wind up down the road somewhere. That's why a lot of us in our lives have wound up down the road somewhere. Because we weren't given the earnest heed that we needed to. It's tight, but it's right. Praise God. So what we're learning here is you keep it in the midst of your heart. This is where the fruitfulness comes from. And I'll close with this. Go to Luke chapter 8 with me. I want to show you something. We were talking a little bit about how this works in the kingdom of God. And Jesus gave us some of the best, most important information here on this day where he was teaching all these kingdom parables. But do you remember when he starts explaining the parable of the sower to them? Tells them what the wayside ground was, the stony ground, the thorny ground, and the good ground. Right? Four different types of ground of people who left their daily activities to come listen to him. Only one of the four bore fruit that remained. Do you know what that teaches us? Only about 25% of us that actually take the time to come hear the Word of God are going to produce the fruit God intends for us to produce. That's not good odds. But you know what the good news is? You're the one that determines if you're the 25% or the 75%. You're the one that determines the quality and condition of your heart. And he says right here, in explaining the good ground and its nature and qualities, look what he says in verse 15. But the ones, the seed, that fell on the good ground are those who, having a good and noble heart. Now, it starts right there. You have a good heart, you have a noble heart. What's a noble heart? An honorable heart. A heart that honors the things of God. Values what you're hearing. This has always been one of the things that discourages me the most as a teacher of God's Word. You know what it is? The lack of value that most Christians have on the Word of God. I mean, it's just the way it is. And it's not hard to see from that perspective why these things work for some and don't work for others in specific areas of our life. Man, if you value God's Word, if you're like Jacob, this is what's so awesome. Jacob valued the Word of God, or the things of God, to such a degree that even though he lied to take that birthright and that blessing from his brother Esau, God still saw it as commendable. So even his negative thing in his life, to where he was actually taking something that wasn't technically his, he was doing something unethical, God still commended him and said he can have it. Why? Because his value of the things of God outweighed his moral shortcomings and failures. That's pretty awesome. That's why Peter was the rock, even though he was a basket case. David screwed up all the time, but because he was a man after God's own heart, he knew how to value the things of God. I'm so thankful for that. This right here is how it works. So he says, that good and noble heart, look at this. They heard the word with the noble and good heart, and they what? Keep it and bear fruit with patience. So now you're seeing how the good ground does exactly what we read in Proverbs chapter 4. It keeps the word in the midst of that ground. It protects it. It guards it. Like a lot of you who have gardens in your yard. Man, you protect it and keep it. You're not going to do all that work tilling and cultivating the ground and then let some deer or some other little thing come in and just consume it. You'll protect it. You'll keep it. You'll do what you got to do. Right? That's the way you got to treat your heart. Guard your heart with all diligence. Why? For out of it spring the issues of life. This is how the medicine gets in there and starts producing its fruit in your life. So back in Proverbs chapter 4. Anybody else glad they came today? Praise God. I mean, is this something that's good to be reminded of if you've already heard it before? If you've never heard it before, you can certainly get excited about it. Amen. So when he says, "My son, give attention to my words, incline your ear to my sayings, do not let them depart from your eyes, keep them in the middle of your heart." Why? Why do you take God's medicine in this way? Because that's the way God told you to take it in order to get it on the inside of you in your heart so that it can produce life to all your flesh when you find this. I had to have Shannon go find this for me. But when we found it, this is here. It's here. I've got the capability with this medicine to receive anything I want, whenever I want from God, and it'll do what? It'll bring health to all my flesh. Medicine. A remedy, a cure, exactly what you need to heal any physical problem you got. Amen. And you know what's so awesome about this? None of you ever did this with this medicine. You know what it is? Some of you might be the types that might actually do this. But do you know when I go pick a prescription up from the pharmacy, I don't sit there and try to break down whether this pill is the right pill. And I don't go look up what the medicine is to find out really what everybody else is saying about it. I don't do a lot of that. I just trust my physician that he called in the right one. And then I trust the pharmacy that they put in this bottle the right one. And I just take it. It's kind of like Brother Hagin used to say concerning how God's word will work for you, even when you don't even know how it works. He said when he was a kid, he used to wonder how a brown cow could eat green grass and produce white milk that when churned, it produces yellow butter. But he said all the time he was trying to figure out how all that worked, he was eating the biscuits and drinking the milk. Praise God. I'm looking at a bunch of people that can be eating the biscuits and drinking the milk without even necessarily knowing what a theologian might know about these words. If you will hide enough of God's word in your heart, enough, it will heal you. I don't care what the doctors have said, what your grandmama has said, or all your friends have said. His word will bring healing to all your flesh. Let's stand on our feet. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, he's good to us. Hallelujah. See, if I would have said today, I'm announcing today, you come here today, I got these little medicine bottles full of medicine. Anybody that comes, I don't care what your physical problem is, if you'll just come and do this and take it, you'll be healed. You know what? We wouldn't have had a need for any other part of this service today. People would have just shown up to get the free prescription and go their merry way and receive their healing. That's why you don't necessarily always need hands laid on you. You just might need to be doing this, what we talked about today. And this works because God's faithful as our great physician to do his part. So let's do something a little different this morning. Get yourself in position to receive. Thank you, Lord. We've got spiritual ears. We got spiritual eyes. We got a spiritual heart. And Lord, you have taught us today through these scriptures exactly how these things work in the kingdom of God. And we thank you today that you've given us a medicine, that you, our great physician, has paid the price, hallelujah, for us to be healed. And a prescription is an instruction written that authorizes us to be provided a medicine or a treatment. And I thank you that's your word, Lord. So your word contains the prescription that authorizes us to obtain your medicine. So we already have the prescription. It's waiting at the pharmacy with your name on it. Our health insurance, amen, come on somebody. Our health insurance, the stripes of Jesus, have already paid for our prescription. And in God's kingdom, there's no copay, there's no deductible. It's completely free, bought, and paid for by the stripes of Jesus. So if I'll just take enough of God's word, enough, I will be healed. We thank you, Father, for that. Say, I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. I have a prescription. I have medicine that will heal all my flesh. So I'm going to take it. I'm going to give attention to it. I'm going to incline my ears to it. I'm not going to let it depart from my eyes. I'm going to get it right in the middle of my heart. And it will heal me. Thank you, Lord, that you will heal me. And you've shown me how to receive it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Thank God forever. We need to get this message out there. There was not enough people here today to hear that message. I can promise you that. Let's get it out there and share it. Thank you guys for joining us online, all you that will be watching us after the fact. God bless you. In Jesus' name.